I love you, Lord.
Oh, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice just to worship you with all my soul. I rejoice, so take joy, my King. Sound in your ear.
Oh, I love you, Lord. Help me sing it. Hallelujah.
Oh, I love you, Lord.
And I lift my voice.
And I lift my voice.
Just to worship.
Just to worship you with all my soul.
I rejoice. So take joy.
Sound in your ear.
Come on, musicians. Help us to worry, praise him this morning. Oh, I love you, Lord. Rejoice.
So take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound.
One more time. Hallelujah. Let's sing that one more time. Amen.
Oh, I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice
just to worship.
I rejoice.
So take joy.
Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound.
Sweet
sound
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ears, the sweetest name on earth. We know this. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love Jesus. I'm singing, oh, how I love Jesus. I'm singing, oh, name. Hallelujah. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing. I love to sing His word. It sounds sing this last verse. It tells me of my Savior's love. Who died to set me free. Singing, oh, how I love Jesus.
I'm singing, oh, how I love
Hallelujah, I love you, Lord.
Singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
One last time, let's sing it. Hallelujah.
I'm singing, oh, how I love Jesus. I'm singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Singing, oh, how
seated. Sister Sue, come on up.
I don't have anything really to say. I just said I praise God and I do love Jesus, and I'm so happy to be here and know this word and grow in this word, and I'm just thankful that God gave it to me. He saw me from the beginning, I know, and he saw me finish it, so I know this is my race and I'm going to finish it, and I'm just so thankful to be here and to know you guys and to worship with you and to grow in this word. I was texting with my grandson this morning, and it kind of surprised me. You know, he said, I'm going to church today. And I said, well, I'm so glad that you are. You know, it's denominational church, of course. He's away at college. But I'm just thankful to know that he loves God enough that he wants to go to church this morning. And I know I've got he and the other grandkids, too, and in my love and my truth and my knowledge, knowing that I can take them with me. And I'm just so thankful to have this word.
Amen. God bless you, sister. Appreciate you. Amen. That's beautiful. It's going to get a couple announcements out of the way. This Thursday, the musicians are going to be practicing this Thursday, so we won't be doing the young people practice this Thursday, but the musicians will. Then this Saturday, we got our brother's breakfast going to be at 9 o'clock here at the church, and then the sisters have a breakfast or brunch, lunch at 10 the following week. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to the services, what God's going to do. I'm always excited, always nervous, but I'm looking forward to how he's going to lead and guide us in the service. Sister Renee, go ahead.
I just want to appreciate the musicians, too. This morning, Brother Jeremiah kind of mixed it up a little bit on the guitar. I heard that. It was really beautiful. But I know you all come in here every week and practice, and, you know, that's your gift that you give. But I was just thinking, and Doug and I were talking about it on the way up, and your testimony kind of just confirmed, why do I come here? You know, what am I doing here? Yeah. Why do I drive to this church? Uh-huh. And there's nothing that I ever would want to be anywhere else than this place, you know. And I was just thinking, we were talking about some of our journeys a while back, and y'all, most of you all know my journey, and I was thinking about when I wasn't here, you know, because I don't like to bring that up too much, but just thankful that God brought me back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When I wasn't here, I said I would never come back to Fairborn, ever. And one day, Doug told me, he helped me as much as he could, bless his heart. He said, Renee, you need God in your life. You need God directing you and helping you. And I knew exactly where God was. And it was like a light switch went off. So some of those people that aren't here, I know what they're going through. They don't have peace. And I hope one day that that light switch goes on for them, because I could not get through this life without this place. I have peace. I hardly ever cry. Like, I can't even cry. When something bad happens, I can't even cry. I know that it's God's will, and I want that for my life. I don't want to go away. I don't want to go against any of that. It's kind of reminded me of this song that I sang before, but it's talking about all of my ambitions. I want them to be his, you know, and I want to use whatever gifts I have, and I know I have them for him. And it talks about just being out of the will. It's only in His will that I am free. And Amen. That's exactly, I'm just, our life is so blessed to know all of that, to have a husband that's right there with me, guiding me and leading me. And it's such a blessing. Amen. Just so thankful. And all my church friends, I love you guys so much. And like you said, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else than being here and worshiping and praising. And on Wednesday, I wasn't here because I was babysitting a little 2-year-old, and she has a bedtime, so I can't. But when I'm not here, that's, you know, I'm doing something else. And gosh, I love my grandkids, and we have 5 now, and I'm just so thankful.
Amen.
For where God has brought us and all of that. But this is called All for Jesus.
Thanks,
sis. All for Jesus, all I am and have, and ever hope to be. Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have, and ever hope to be.
Something to all of our remembrance.
Amen.
I was just reading in Luke, and this just ties in what the ministry has been talking about.
Yes.
Luke 11, and I'm going to say 8 through 13. I just want to read this.
Amen.
It says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you.
Yes.
Seek, and ye shall find.
Amen.
Knock,
yes,
and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened.
Amen.
If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone?
No.
Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And this is the clincher. If ye then, being evil, know how to give goods unto your children,
okay,
how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. Oh, that is so beautiful. And you know, that's a promise for us, the bride. The rest of the world, it's not for them. You know, because on that day, they're gonna be those that say, Lord, but didn't we do this in your name? And didn't we do that in your name? Well, that scripture right there that I just read, where the Holy Spirit would be given to them that ask, that doesn't apply to them. That's for the bride. See, that's where I see me.
I
have that.
Amen.
Thank God he reserved that for
Amen.
Me.
Yes.
You know, I'm just making this personal. I'm sure we can all say that. But
yes.
Thank God. God is so good. You know, I'm backing into what I want to say. God has been good to me. Why? I see my name in that scripture. I'm all in this. I can't help but to give God praise. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
I read that and that just turned me on.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Warren. Come on. Yep. Sister Sandra and then Brother Jeremiah.
It's good to be back in the house.
Amen.
I wanted to let you guys know how much your testimonies, how much the word, it all runs together. And even when you have a hall pass and you can't make it to church, but you have to watch it online, even then, it's the same as being here in one aspect of, they always say, if you don't see how it applies, wait a minute, look around. And that's what I've been doing. And God's been carrying me through. You know, he's been teaching me so much about patience, about his timing, patience for his timing, not patience for the world. And that understanding, you know, and now the thing that I'm working on right now, until the Lord shows me something different, is to use his order for things, to get things done. Like, what does the Father want me to do first? You know, and to go through that order, because, you know, a little bit, I'm a little out of sorts with prioritizing right now. But the rest he showed me how to rest and understand that he's carrying me through. He's never forsaken me.
That's right.
And he never will.
Amen.
And I am so grateful to be back here under the anointing in the house.
Yes, yes,
and I love you all, and I missed you all. And I missed Brother Jerry when he came and preached, and Brother Mike, I was watching. I heard it. And Brother Tom, I'm glad he's doing good enough that he was able to come and sing again. And I love that. I love how we all just come together.
Yes.
Amen. It's good to be here this morning. I'm going to get the young people up to sing with me if they want to start working their way up. But I just want to thank God for everything he's done for me. He's worthy of my praise and worship. And we want to do that this morning.
Give him glory.
You guys sing with all your might. Yeah. All you can do is praise him, all right? Let the back of the church hear you.
Yeah.
That's the
chorus. That's the chorus. Give him glory.
So I want to hear everybody's mouth you can sing, all right? So Michael, whatever you play that.
Give him praise, young man.
while they're going to their seats. God is good.
Yeah.
It's an honor and a privilege to be here in the house of God. I want to say I'm a believer. I want to say I'm an overcomer. I want to say I'm healed. I want to say I'm blessed. I want to say it's a good day to give God the praise. I cannot sing, but he said, give him a joyful noise. And seeing as I have lived another day, you know, if I'm ever going to do anything, get G, please. Lord, I live. Wait. Hold on. You know what left me that quick? What's that song? Oh. Something.
Here we go.
Within me that holdeth the reins. It's just something within me. It banishes all my pain. It's just something within me. Oh, hallelujah. I cannot explain something within. It's just something deep within. Well, it's something within me that holdeth the rain. Something within me holdeth that pain.
Preachers and teachers,
just make your appeal. You're fighting like soldiers,
fighting like soldiers
on God's great battlefield. This message you're preaching,
this message,
hallelujah, I know that it's real.
I know that it's real. Something within me.
There's something within me.
There's something within me. That holdeth the rain.
Something within me.
It banishes pain.
A terrible situation. I'm about to blow up on the inside and my voice is gone. But you know what? It's just something within me.
Amen.
You know, it said my God is a consuming fire.
Yeah.
And he'll burn you up. Thank you, Jay.
Amen. God,
you can't get it. I know there was some notes missing.
That's all right.
I'm reaching for them. I can't get them. But it's still okay.
Yeah, come on.
We gonna sing.
I'm going to give it.
Somebody else coming to help
me.
Yeah.
Help you.
Yeah,
come on.
Amen.
Well, okay.
There's something within me.
Something within that
holding the rain.
something within that holdeth the reins. Something within me, it banishes pain. Not explain.
Was that not God? Was that not God? Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
That's the way it should be.
Amen.
Amen. Something within.
Amen.
You know, sometimes you have to go through something.
Sure.
To know that there's something within.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can talk about it.
Yeah, you can talk about it.
You can think it.
Yeah.
But you, when you have it, you know it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Lockett said, when I walked in, he said, believing ain't enough.
Yeah.
Believing ain't enough.
Right.
You can do a lot of believing.
Yeah.
A lot of believing. But there's something within.
Amen.
Something more.
Right.
Something more in this day.
Yeah.
Something more. And I just praise God for that thing.
Amen.
That's the thing that holds me.
Amen.
That's the thing that presses me on.
Right.
You know, sometimes I think, you know, I've been at this all years, but those first 20 plus years, I think I was in a coma. I look back on that and I don't even know. It just was, but then,
come on now,
something within.
Yeah.
And all of it came together.
Mm-hmm.
And all of it made sense.
Amen.
And I believe it now. And it's me. It's me. I and my Father are one. This Word and I are one. It's different.
Amen. 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 We're going to sing When I Think About. You be the last one, Brother James. Okay.
Amen. Brother Mike and I were talking last Sunday just about light and darkness. Yeah. And that darkness cannot fight light.
No.
And if you even, you know, even a little bit of light, you know, you might have chance. And after we were done talking, I started thinking about, well, shadows. The only problem now we have, since we have full Word and full light, is our own obstacles we put in our place and our circumstances. Amen. And it'll cast shadows. You know, we go through this valley of the shadow of death. You know, it's a shadow. But if you move your light around, those shadows will disappear.
Right.
So if you're, you know, I'm not saying we won't have circumstances, because we will. But if you just shift the angle of the light that we have in the revelation, those shadows have no hold on
us.
That's right. Amen. God bless Brother James. Amen. Appreciate the testimonies this morning. Appreciate the song. Thank you, Brother Jeremiah, for leading those young people. I love to see that. I love to see that. It reminded me of Pastor Moore's message when he was in the Philippines, when he preached to possess your inheritance to those young people, saying, if you don't, Brother Branham said, if you don't serve God in your youth, you probably won't ever do it. So seeing those people sing and get with it, that's just doing your part, you know. That's just doing your part, and it blesses the body because we see it, you know. And I appreciate that. I wanted to sing When I Think About the Lord. Because I love the lyrics of that. It says, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost. I don't know the page. I'll sing it. Appreciate that. What have you done since you believed? Since you believed. You know, even Brother Branham, when he said, it's not enough for what you guys have. We got to get the token. And it was just a change in that they dropped some people off. And the Holy Ghost has been doing the same job in every age, but unless you have it, you don't really know. Amen. When I think about the Lord. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he's healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he's picked me. me up and he's turned me around. How he's placed my feet on solid ground. It makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he sealed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he's picked me up and he's turned me around, how he's placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, when I think about the Lord, the Holy Ghost, how he filled me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all of the honor and all the praise. It makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. It makes me want to shout, Brother Lockett.
Amen. Here this morning, God have been good to us. You know, John was talking about the new buddy. You know, brother Brandon says three steps, not two.
Right.
Three steps to a birth. And just believing, that's the second step.
Mm-hmm.
Third step is born again.
Uh-huh.
Life. Amen.
Amen.
So we got to come on up now.
Step it up.
Let's not lag them behind.
Mm-mm.
You see something, step out on it if you believe it.
Yeah. That's it.
If you don't, then you're going to fall back.
Amen.
We moving ahead. That's just the way it is. You know, Brother Brandon preached for I don't know how many years. Then he came to the tabernacle one Sunday or one day.
Yes, he did.
And he said,
Brandon Tabernacle.
Brother Neville.
Yeah.
Deacons.
Mm-hmm.
Sisters, brothers.
Yeah. Everybody.
You must have the token.
That's right.
Right.
Amen. Now, he preached all this time.
Right.
And he was telling these people that supposed to have had the token.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were, I guess they were believers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But Brother Bram knew that they didn't have it.
That's right.
So.
You must be born again.
You must be born again, folks. Right. That's all I'm going to say. My wife, she got tied up with a little grandkid yesterday, and they got kept up all night. So she couldn't make it this morning.
Amen.
God bless her.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Lockett. Amen. Let's just bow our heads this morning. And Lord is so good to us that he's worthy of all the honor and the glory that we can give him. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We want to thank you for being so good to us. You've given to us when we didn't even give to you. You supplied us with all of our needs. And you always made sure that the word that was available, that it was given and understood by the bride of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we ask you to move every hindrance aside, remove all the sickness, and Lord, most of all the unbelief. Move it aside, Father, that we can believe. We know we must be born again, and that's when you agree with every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Father, we've done that in this hour. And we ask you this morning to help us to give you back the praise and the glory that you so deserve. Thank you for this word that's laid up before us, Lord. I can't do this in myself, Lord. I am worthless and helpless without you. But Lord, I ask you to come here this morning and take these words that are laid out before the people and make it real to them. You are the only one that can do that. I can't do that. We ask you to touch those that are sick, Trevor and Melanie and different ones that are not feeling well today. Ask you to send forth your word and comfort their hearts and touch their bodies so that they can get back to the house where their heart's desire is. Take the words that are laying here, Lord, and make it real to us, Lord. Help us to move out of the way so that you could come and explain what's laying here. So that when we leave here today, we can better understand what you were talking about in the hour that we're living in. Thank you for this message. Thank you for this prophet that you've given us, Lord. We never want to take that for granted and appreciate it when most people are turning it away, Lord. I can see it, and I believe it, and I, Lord, ask you to just help us to apply it to our lives every day that we walk. Amen. Thank you for this truth, Lord. Give us a press and a push. Yes. Don't let us settle down on something short of what you're looking for this hour, Lord. You're looking for a manifestation, not just a talker, somebody who'll say they believe it, but somebody whose very life reflects your word. Yes. Thank you for that, Lord, and ask you to just help us to be us. Let us move everything aside, Lord, and let your word just have its way in our lives so that when the world looks at us, they'll see you. That's what you've done all along. And Father, we ask you to do it again in this bride, in this hour. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to have you all here. And it wouldn't be much fun if I were here without you.
it takes both the hearer and the speaker to make it really work. And we clearly see that. And I want to tell you all that I forgot to tell you when we were talking about the Philippines trip, when I went over there, there was a minister brother. He's a pastor for church. He didn't even know I was the pastor of Fairborn Community Tabernacle. And he was sitting there next to me, and we were talking, and a brother introduced me to him. Come to find out, he had been watching our services online and didn't know it was me. And then when he found out it was me, he was all excited. And he was telling me, he said, you know, the way you run your church, the congregation and the testimonies, he says, those things bless me so much. And you all don't think anybody's listening. They're all listening. He says, you don't run your church like everybody else's church. I said, no, it's a local assembly, and we run it the way God wants us to run it. He said, I'm taking that back to my church. I'm going to let our congregation be able to get up and testify. And he says, your congregation blesses me so much to hear the testimonies. And when you think that nobody's paying you any attention, don't believe that. Because what you do in the front part of the service, oh, it's not the opening of the word here, but it is. Because it's the word in you. And when you're testifying, people are listening to you because they're going through the same things you're going through. And for them to hear you, how you overcame, it's important. Amen. So I thought about that this morning, and I thought I want to let you all know that it does matter whether you testify. And it does matter that it goes on record. And it does matter because people are looking for that part of the service as well as this part of the service to be blessed. So your work is not in vain. And just so you know that. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. I think I'm just about over my cold, a little bit here or there, but thank God it's about gone. Seems like it's going through the different parts of the church and body. Not that I'm giving it, but everybody's got, it's this time of the year. This weather is just one day it's 70, next day it's 50, next day it's 60, then it's 20, and, you know, just keep riding, keep hanging there. We'll get it adjusted after a while. You're in Ohio, so, you know, those of you that are not here and maybe tuning in because you're not feeling well, God bless you and pray He touches your body. And I pray He blesses you with the word that we're going to have here. And, you know, a lot of time you say, well, it's not the same when you're home. And it's not. But God can bless you at home. If you can't be here, He'll bless you at home. Now, if you can be here and you're not here, He ain't going to bless you. Because you ain't doing what you're supposed to. You know, my prescription has always been and always will be, get to the house. For no matter what ails you, get to the house. And if you refuse to do that because of your stubbornness, then I pray that God doesn't bless you until, I pray He dries you up until you get back to the house. Amen. Mess up your internet connection. Because it's not about being at home and listening. That's not what the Word of God says. And we believe in following the Word of God. He said, forsake not to assemble yourselves together. Not turn on the internet. Not turn on Brother Branham's tape. Not listen to somebody's old message. But you need to find the Word made flesh. You need to have that. That's what gives life. You got to have life to give life. And you have to be the Word made flesh to give the Word made flesh. And if you're not where the Word made flesh is, then you can't get Him. I don't care how much you say you believe Jesus. John's disciples believed Jesus, but they weren't following Jesus. They were still following John. And until they heard from the voice of a man of God, they couldn't even receive this. And until you're sitting under a live ministry, not Brother Branham's tape from 1965, but unless you're sitting under a live ministry, you're not going to be able to find out what God's doing right now. Somebody told me in the Philippines that somebody performed a wedding. I guess at the tabernacle somewhere, I don't know, this is hearsay. I don't usually even like to say what I hear. But they put on a wedding that Brother Branham preached to do the wedding. That's how far off we are in this message. You say, don't talk about that. So that's the tabernacle. I'll tell you like Brother Branham said. You come as far as you could in the written word. You must be born again. And you can't be born again listening to tapes. You can't. You say, well, Brother Brent, we just got to say what the prophet said. Well, say what the prophet said, but it still has to be in you. It didn't. Revelations 10 didn't stop in verse 7. It went through 8 through 11. You take the book, you eat it, and you prophesy again. So that's where we're at. And if you think I'm meddling, that's all right. I just, you know, it's time to meddle sometime. You got to get it. Sometimes you got to get it out there, because it's crazy what some people believe, even in this message. I've seen all kind of things that don't match what Brother Branham gave us. And I am not here to give you me. And I'm not here to give you my idea, my thinking. I'm here to give you what the prophet brought. And if that's not enough for you, then I'm sorry. This is not for you. And it's not for everybody. Everybody can't be born again. Everybody is not supposed to be born again. We preach it like it's to everybody, but we know it's only to the elect. And when I'm preaching like everybody believes it. But if you're sitting in these benches and you're not receiving what I'm putting out, then you're still not getting born again. If this message is about a new birth of shaking you, then you need to be shaken. You need to search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. These are they that testify of me. So if you're hearing us talking about being born again, the reason we say it, somebody needs to be born again. God doesn't say nothing for nothing. So search the scriptures, examine yourself to see that you are in the faith. Don't just sit in this building and think you're okay. You must be born again. It's got to be a personal relationship between you and Jesus Christ. And if that hasn't happened, it can happen today. You say, well, you're going to do an altar call? No, your altar's in your heart. Just invite him in there right where you sit. And if you sit there and invite him in and start receiving the word instead of trying to figure it out, just receive the word, then God can do something with you. So it's good to be in the house. And last Sunday we were talking about what the Holy Ghost was given for, and that's a good question. I've had people comment on it, and it's a good thought, and it's a good thing to know, because you need to know what the Holy Ghost is here to do. It's here to quicken you to the word of God for the day and hour that you're living in. No matter what day it is, this job of the Holy Ghost has been the same, to quicken the word of God to you. Now, I want to go a little further this morning, and I want to go over to Ephesians chapter 3, read a few verses here, and then we'll start at verse 1. Let's stand. You say, we never stand. That's why you're standing. We respect the word of God here. But I don't make it a tradition. The moment you think you need to stand, I'll sit you down. Then you want to sit down, I'll make you stand. You say, well, that's you're not going to figure these services out.
Amen, Lord.
Verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, yes, and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. But Lord, we know it's more than just the word, for the letter killeth. We need your spirit here to make it alive. Father, I know what's in my mind, but I can't get it out to the people without your Holy Spirit moving through these aisles and explaining to them what I'm telling them. Ask you to do so. Come by here, Lord. Bless us with your anointing. Have your way this morning. And Lord, just let us understand your word like we never understood it before. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to title this message this morning, God Manifest Himself by Revelation. And it goes along with what the Holy Ghost was given for. And it goes along with Jeremiah's message on Wednesday, the quickening power. And I wanted to start here with Paul because, number one, Paul was a prisoner. And he told us such. When you are a prisoner, you are not your own. You don't get to do what you want to do. You don't get to go where you want to go. Somebody tells you when to get up. Somebody tells you when to get down. Somebody tells you how to dress. See, we forgot about dressing. We forgot about a lot of things. Somebody tells you what to eat, when to eat, where to eat, how to eat, what time to eat, how long you can't eat. Somebody tells you when to turn a light on. As a matter of fact, you don't even control it. They turn them on and they turn them off. That's a prisoner. We want to call that being caught, being stuck, like it's a bad thing. Being a prisoner of Christ is not a bad thing. Amen. Serving God is not hard. People think it's hard to be a Christian. It's not hard to be a Christian. It's hard not to be a Christian. For the believer. If you're a believer, you'll walk away and try to get out of it and try to go your own way, but God will bring you right back to Himself because you are a prisoner. When you try to do wrong and you think you're going to do wrong and want to just do it and forget it, it bothers you. There should be something that bothers you when you do wrong. It bothers me when I do wrong. You say, you do wrong? Yes, I do wrong. I'm human. But it bothers me when I do wrong. That's what makes us repent. That's what makes us turn around, because we're a prisoner. When you try to escape and climb over the wall... Like Renee said, I ain't never going back to that church again. Yeah. He comes and finds you. Yeah. He'll hunt you down.
Yeah. He will.
He'll stick the dogs on you.
Yeah.
He's going to bring you back because you belong to Him. That's a prisoner. I think that there's some people that aren't prisoners. I think there's some people that are visitors. There's a difference between a visitor and a prisoner. A visitor comes to church when you want. Now you're sitting there listening to this on the internet, you're like, ugh. You're not a prisoner.
That's right.
Examine, you look at yourself. I don't have to look at you. Your very manifestation tells me everything I need to know.
Amen.
See, you say that nobody knows if you're a believer or not. Oh, we know. Oh, we know, because we know a prisoner when we see a prisoner. Because they're there at the same time I am. They're in line getting their food just like I'm getting mine. They're eating the same thing I'm eating. They're drinking the same thing I'm drinking. They're dressed like me. I know what time they got up, and I know what time they're going to bed. One prisoner knows another. So if you're listening right now on the internet, and you should be in the house of God, you're not a prisoner.
Amen.
Oh, you might come and visit. You can even visit a lot. There's some people go visit every day if they could. But I ain't looking for visitors here. I want somebody to help me bust rocks.
Amen.
I want somebody to help me to create plant license plates, make license plates.
I want somebody to be here to do the work of the ministry. I need ministers. You look out there and you say, well, you got Jay and you got Jay and Jeremiah. You got enough. That's not enough. God wants you to minister. All right.
Amen, Lord. Amen. Your word is true, Lord.
That's I, Paul, the prisoner. That's just the beginning. That ain't my message. But I got stuck on that. Because some of y'all need to become prisoners. You need to be sentenced to life. You need to be sentenced to life. To serve God every day of your life. Not when you want to, not when you feel good, not when things are going your way, not when things make you happy, but I serve God every day. My good days, my bad days, my well days, my sick days, my ups and my downs, my ins and my outs. That's a prisoner. And if you're a prisoner to Jesus Christ, you'll want to give back. All right. Paul's a prisoner for the Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given unto me, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. I was thinking about revelation. That's why I titled this, God Manifest Himself by Revelation. I was thinking, you know, Paul was reading here and he was writing this letter and he was letting them know that God dealt with him by revelation. Do you know God deals with the bride by revelation?
Amen.
Do you know God deals with everything by revelation?
Amen.
Do you realize that revelation is the greatest thing that you could ever get your hands on?
Amen.
Paul said that he read and he wanted us to understand his knowledge of the mystery, his revelation. His understanding. And he says, and which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of, and that's important. Because see, I was thinking about this after last Sunday's message, and I thought, you know, God, your revelation has always been in the works. Everything you've ever done was done by revelation. Every move you've ever made was by revelation. You created the heavens and the earth by revelation. And in my old puny mind, I like to tell you about my puny mind, because if I tell you what I think, then when you see that you thought the same thing, you won't have to admit it. So in my puny mind, I was thinking that revelation only came when Jesus Christ got here. But that ain't the truth. Revelation has been here since the foundation of the world. God moves by revelation.
Amen.
I woke up this morning. I don't know what time it was. I refused to turn over. It's dark. And what hit my mind, because a lot of times we think God is reacting to everything that moves. God ain't reacting to nothing. And what hit me this morning is God doesn't react. Satan reacts. God moves.
Yeah.
He moves by revelation.
Yeah.
And Satan reacts because he don't know what God's doing.
Right. Right.
So he throws anything he can at it to try to mess it up. God has never had to change his mind about his revelation. God has never had to have a second thought about his revelation. He used revelation to create the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
He used his revelation to create all the animals.
Right.
He used his revelation to create man. He used his creation to build everything that he's ever built. But he never has changed his mind about what he had in his mind from before the foundation of the world. Paul said, I want you to know my knowledge of the mystery. And the reason he wants you to know his knowledge was because in times passing, God doesn't reveal his revelation all the time. He's got a time and a place for everything. Because his revelation is his plan of redemption. And his plan included everything that moved. We have a tendency to think, and I was thinking about this, I said, we think Satan's throwing a roadblock in the way. And God's just making a way around the roadblock. And Satan throws another roadblock in the way. And God makes another way around the roadblock. It ain't ever worked about that way. God has had a plan in his mind all the way through. And Satan doesn't know what the plan is. But do you realize Satan is in the middle of what God's plan is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
God's not winging this.
No.
That Garden of Eden didn't catch God by mistake. That was all part of his plan.
Yes.
That's what he had in his mind from before the foundation of the world.
Yes,
that lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Before there was an Adam. Before there was an Eve. Before there was a Satan. Before there was a fall. Before there was serpent. Before any of that, God in his mind already had a plan. And that plan was his revelation. But there's a time and a place for his revelation to manifest.
Yeah.
God held it all in himself until the time that the revelation was going to manifest. See, the thing that makes revelation great is that when God's revelation comes on the scene, it manifests.
That's right.
That's why if you are not manifesting Christ in this hour, you don't even know him. Because the proof of who you are is the manifestation of the revelation of God's word in your life. He said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery, which in other ages was not made known. It wasn't that it didn't exist. It wasn't available. See, God only quickens the amount of word that he's using for the hour that he's working in. He didn't even let Jesus know when he was coming back. He held that revelation in himself. He said, tell us when he's going to come again. Jesus said, I don't know. Just the Father knows. Why? It was the revelation of God that was hid in God.
Amen.
That he didn't even reveal to Christ. So when God uses revelation, he uses it for a specific time, for a specific reason, for a specific person. For he's got revelation for everybody that's his.
That's right.
But it takes his timing. See, a lot of time we think God's just going to dump revelation on us. God don't reveal himself to you until it's time to use it.
Amen.
God manifests himself in his revelation. If you want to find God's revelation. If you want to know what God's doing, find where God's revelation is.
That's right.
And it'll manifest itself right before your very eyes.
Amen.
But only the elect can pick it up.
Right.
Only those that are ordained of God can receive it.
Amen.
Only those that are born of God can receive it.
Yeah.
If you didn't come from him, it's not for you.
Amen.
Which in other ages was not made known until the sons of men. As it is now revealed. Because it was Paul's time. Paul's very life was a manifestation of the word of God before all men. And I was thinking about this. And it took me over to the quote, Brother Branham. And we've read this quote. We've read this quote. But listen what your prophet said in the exposition of the seven church ages. The importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized. So I'm not taking too much upon myself to talk about today. Revelation means more to you than perhaps you realize. You. He ain't talking to the drunkard. He's talking to us. It means more to you than perhaps you realize. Now, I'm not talking about this book of Revelation in you. Because, see, that's what we get stuck on. We hear the word revelation and we go to the last book of the Bible. But do you realize the revelation is the entire book?
Yeah.
Not the book of Revelation in you. I'm talking about capital A-L-L. All revelation. It is extremely important to the church. And you're sitting here this morning. It is extremely important for you to understand revelation. Don't just sit in this church. Because one thing about revelation is when revelation is made known, it manifests something. You don't get revelation just to sit on. You know, the Bible says little given, little required. We're giving a whole book. Brother Branham here in world is the works is faith expressed. You know, faith is revelation. If you get his title alone, works is faith expressed. Works is revelation expressed. Huh? Hey, get out of my notes. Get out of my notes. Shoot. I'm going there. But I just like the way this tastes. Works is faith expressed. If there are no works, there's no revelation. You tell me you love this word and you're always late to church if you come at all. Or you come at Christmas and Easter. Works is faith expressed. You say, you hurt my feelings. Good. If you don't have any works, you have no faith. You have no revelation. And if you have no revelation, I mean, God's not dealing with you. Because he deals with the bride and all of his believers, all of his people, by revelation. That's the only way he deals with us. And Brother Branham told me that a revelation is a clear understanding.
That's it.
So all these things are tied together. If you have a revelation, it will manifest itself in your very life.
Amen.
I ain't talking about goody two-shoe people. Because there's a lot of people that are goody two-shoe people that don't even manifest the revelation. Paul said, I'm bringing you the revelation which in times past was not given to them. It wasn't given to them because it wasn't time. But God has used revelation all the way through. Listen to what this Brother Branham said about this Baptist guy. He said, a Baptist minister told me not long ago, he said, I just can't accept revelation. I said, Brother Branham, then you can't accept the Bible. You cannot accept Christ because he is the revelation of God. He's God revealed in flesh. Therefore, the whole church is built upon divine revelation.
Amen.
The whole church is built on. It's not built on your goodness. It's not built on your good living. It's not good on your sacrifices. It's not built on anything you can offer God. It's God revealing himself personally to you. And if he reveals himself to you, he'll live out through you, and we will be able to see the manifestation of the word of God in your skin.
Amen.
Because that's what God's always done from the very beginning. He brought his revelation at an appointed time to an appointed people, and he gave them the revelation, and they manifested what they got from him.
Amen.
God has used revelation from the very beginning. And I have a note here that said, faith is a revelation. Interchangeable. Interchangeable. And this
this right here, this is going to get you here. It got me anyway. I could read the whole chapter, but I don't want to because you can read it when you get home. But interchange faith and revelation. I'm not saying take away from the Bible and put something else in there. I'm saying there's interchangeable. Just use that. It'll help you understand it. Okay. We're going to go over to Hebrews chapter 11. You know what Hebrews chapter 11 is? What they call that? Faith chapter. Revelation chapter. And this is where Mike's all in my business. Okay. Now, Revelation. Is the substance. What is the substance? That's something solid. Something you can build on. Something you can stand on. It's real. Revelation is the substance of things hoped for. You want an evidence? You want an evidence of whether God's in your life or not? Look at your life and see if it matches the scripture. Because the revelation is the very evidence that God's there. The very evidence of things unseen. For by it, by faith, by revelation, the elders. Wait a minute, I didn't think it came till the day of Pentecost. Oh, no. God's been using revelation the whole time. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, through revelation, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. How do you know the world was framed? Because I believe. I got a revelation of it. Well, if I thought and believed, as the scientists do, in the Big Bang Theory, like they try to explain it. Oh, that was a Big Bang Theory, all right. And ties right in with the word of God. God said, let there be. Boom, there was. Scientists just don't know how to explain it. But by faith, by revelation, I believe that the worlds were framed. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And that's why scientists get thrown off. Clarice just asked me yesterday, she said, you really think we come from those? They say come from a monkey, and you grew up, and you got evolution, and you dropped your tail, and your appendix is what's left of it. And, you know, they got all these answers, scientific proof that man came from that. But God didn't have to do all that. God just says, let there be. And he started from the lowest to the highest. So yes, evolution, you're right. God started from the lowest to the highest. Yes, there was a Big Bang Theory. It was God's word manifest. The worlds were framed by that. Yes, we come all the way up. You can't even find a missing link, and we know who it is. We know more than science. By revelation. By an understanding. We know that they'll never find the missing link between man and animal. They will never find it. Because God in Genesis told him, I'm changing every bone in your body. He even changed the type of blood, he turned him into a cold-blooded. He did it so much that scientists don't even look that direction. He looked so different than what he looked in the garden that the scientists don't even, they put him way down on the line. By faith, verse 4, Abel, by revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
See, God was using revelation back then. You thought it came on the day of Pentecost. God was using revelation in Genesis. Abel was able to receive an understanding from God. Cain could not receive it. God told Cain, if you do what your brother did, now, if me and Jeremiah are taking a math test, and I'm sitting there, and I don't have none of the answers, and he got all of them, and a teacher comes up to me and say, Nate, scoot your desk close to Jeremiah's. Jeremiah's getting an A. He don't miss nothing. Says, if you slide your desk right up next to Jeremiah's and put on your paper what Jeremiah has on his paper, I will give you an A. Isn't that simple? Now, what if I... So I know Jeremiah is a smarty pants, but I'm a smarty pants too. I know math. I can do this myself. I don't need no help. And because that's what Cain did. God told Cain, if you just do what your brother did, I'll give you the same. See, unless you're the elect one on the scene to receive the revelation, you can never get it. Amen. To the world, they cannot understand revelation. They can't get revelation. They don't move by revelation. But only God's children move by revelation. Amen. Cain said it was blood that caused the fall, and it's going to be blood of a lamb that's going to get us back in there in the good graces of God again. And he did what God expected him to do by revelation. Amen. Now, he had revelation before Calvary. So you can't just say that revelation only comes by the Holy Ghost in the New Testament. God's always been here. God's always revealed himself to whom he wanted to. Amen. At the time that he wanted to. Amen. And God did not have to change his mind about his revelation at all. Satan is the one who's trying to figure this out. God knows what he's doing. He's already declared to end from the beginning. He already knows what's going to happen. He already knows what's going to be. He already knows what he needs to reveal to whom, when, and where, and how. That's why Paul said it wasn't revealed to them back then, because it wasn't time. Right. Paul was on the scene because it was time for the revelation to be manifested in him. Right. Wow. Brother Branham said Abel built the same kind of altar. But when Abel brought his, he brought a lamb. Now Cain thought that making an antidote for sin, that his father and mother must have eaten fruit as they were taught in the garden. But Abel, by divine revelation,
amen,
know that it was the blood that did it. By divine revelation. People say, well, you can't get revelation before Jesus died on Calvary. No, God moves by revelation. From Genesis to Revelation, he moves by revelation. Some got a lot, some got a little. Old Testament saints, they got a little bit of here and a little bit of there. And they got a little bit of revelation on this and that and the other as God needed to use them for something. But when they got their revelation, it was God, he revealed himself by coming and walking in them and fulfilling the word that they were doing. That's what he did with Cain and Abel. And Cain come and he couldn't get it. Abel couldn't miss it if he tried. When you get a revelation from God, you can't miss God. That's why I'm saying, if I don't see the manifested word of God in your life, then God is not there. The revelation is not there. God's not moving in your life. Not saying he can't, but you must be born again. You're just not there yet. Once you become a prisoner and you start, because when you get the revelation from God, no matter what it is, no matter what age it is, you are going to fulfill the word of God. You'll do it. It's a personal revelation from God to you. And your very life becomes a walking, talking manifestation. What if Abel just took what God said and said, yeah, that sounds good, and didn't do it? It'd prove that it wasn't God. His works were expressing his faith. And we can go down. Actually, I don't want to read the whole chapter, but every one of those people in that chapter 11 were moving by faith. By faith. Enoch, by faith. Noah, by faith. Abraham, by faith. Every last one of them were moving by revelation. God was dealing with them personally. And when God deals with you personally, your life will reflect it. Oh, it's not going to reflect what everybody else wanted to reflect, because the church world don't know what to reflect. They don't know God when they see God. But the believer will reflect the Word of God, because the Word of God is going to move right through their very life.
Amen.
Abel couldn't help but to believe. Moses couldn't help but to believe. I got a quote in there where Moses went down there and God sent him over there, and Pharaoh raised him, and 40 years he did good and did all he did for 40 years, had a bunch of head knowledge, a bunch of churchy stuff, a bunch of stuff that some people in this church have, and never got born again. But then God had to take him on the outside of the desert, because all he got was one dead Egyptian with all his head knowledge.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
But God took him on the backside of the desert and gave him a revelation.
Right.
If when it's quickened, your very life becomes the Word, living, moving. And everybody around you can see it.
Amen.
You say, nobody knows what God's doing with me. I can tell you what he's doing with you. All I got to do is look at your manifestation. If there's no manifestations, there's no revelation. If there's no revelation, God ain't dealing with you. People get nervous when you tell them you must be born again. Check yourself, make sure you're in the faith. And everybody's looking this week like, nah, I got this, don't I? I'm okay. And I, you know, this is right, isn't it? You know what? If God is in you, if the revelation is being revealed to you, and your life matches the gospel, matches the Word, then you're okay. Don't let Satan buffet you with your birth. You drive your stake and stand right there. Because you're born again, not of the corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible, by the Word of God. And you don't have to prove nothing to the devil. You don't need to check with me. It's okay if you do. But your very life will show it. It'll show you. You'll find yourself doing stuff that you wouldn't want to do. You'll find yourself going places where you wouldn't want to go. Or stop going places that you would want to go. You'll pick up habits that you don't want, and you'll drop some that you do want. That's Romans 7 for you. That I would do, I don't do. That I don't do, I find myself doing. Who's going to deliver me from this? Why? Because I'm a prisoner.
Yes.
And I do what my master wants me to do. But it's done by revelation. It's not done by legislation. I don't have to come in and tell all y'all, do this. Thou shalt not. This ain't the Ten Commandments. This is a relationship between you and God. And your very life will manifest what's on the inside by revelation.
Amen.
God manifests himself by revelation.
Yes.
How can you tell the hour that you're living in? You'll see it manifested right before you.
Amen.
You won't have to read it, but Matthew 16, when Jesus told Peter, said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. Wait a minute, how can Peter get a revelation before the upper room? Because God moves by revelation. God told him. Who did the man say that I am, Peter? He said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. How did he know that? He got a revelation. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. See, when it comes to a revelation, you don't get that from man. You don't get it from the preacher. You don't get it from the deacon. You don't get it from the man. You don't get it from anybody.
Amen.
It comes from God and God alone. And you'll know it's God because it'll be you and God talking to each other.
Amen.
You don't have to. I don't have to ask you if God's talking to me. All I got to do is listen to the word. And when the word comes forth, something on the inside, as Clary's saying, something within, it gets in there and it agrees with the word of God.
Amen.
Only a believer can receive a revelation.
Amen.
You say, you're hard on me. I need to be hard on you because I don't want you to sit here and die and go to hell.
Amen.
I don't want you to sit here and be churchy. I don't want you to sit here and have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You must be born again. You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Everybody in here.
Amen.
And when you have that relationship, that manifested, Son of God, word will live out through you with every heartbeat. I don't have to tell you to have your heart to beat. You don't even think about it. It doesn't, because you're alive. And when you're alive in Jesus Christ, I don't have to tell you how to look, how to dress, how to live your life, how to go home with you and make you do stuff. Your very life is His.
Amen.
You're no longer I, but it's Christ, the revealed word that liveth in me. And what He tells me to do, I do. What He tells me to stop, I stop. When He tells me to get up, I get up. I don't even set an alarm on Sunday morning. I don't have to set an alarm for church. I'm lucky if I get to sleep till 7. Wake up in the middle of the night. I tried to cover my head last night. I said, oh, Lord, just let me. It was I don't know what I did. I refused to look at the clock. And I laid there, and he's just talking. I'm listening. I'm like, oh, just, you know. Then you get up in the morning and you're tired. But that's all right. As long as he gets what he wants. You might be a prisoner in jail and they get you up at 3 in the morning. You got guard duty to watch this. You just got to get up and do it. But it's not your life anymore. I don't understand how people think it's still their life. I died so long ago, I'm like, are you serious? You still holding on to that? You're still thinking you got permission to do that? You better go talk to the warden.
Amen.
Flesh and blood don't reveal this to you. God always moved. See, the thing about revelation is when you receive the revelation, it becomes one with you. And your life and the revelation becomes the same. The fighting is over. The arguing is over. The trying to figure out how to get around it is over. He's dead. You got a life sitting with Jesus Christ. And nothing else is going to change that. So you might as well conform to His word. You will. Every believer conforms to the word of God. Did you hear me? Every believer conforms to the word of God. Because your life and the revelation becomes one and the same. So when I look at you, I see His life. I don't see your life.
Amen.
If all you do is still see my life, you're looking at the wrong thing.
Right.
Look, Brother Branham said, and we read this a lot, but I want to read it this morning. Christ in you makes Him the center of life of the revelation. See, Christ's life in you makes Him the center of the revelation. What revelation? Your life. If you say that the children are supposed to have their hearts turned back to the fathers, according to Malachi 4, for the hour that we're living in, your manifestation should be that your hearts are turned back. That's your manifestation. Your manifestation comes after the revelation. You look and you find out, I'm a part of this thing. Luke 17:30, Son of Man, the hour that we're living in. If Luke 17:30 is the word of the hour, then what should you reflect?
Right.
Son of Man, Word of God, fullness. That's the manifestation of God in skin. And he's always done it all the way through. That's what was amazing to me is that God's done this all the way through. You're thinking he's just done it after the day of Pentecost. No, he's built this thing on revelation. God never changed his mind about his word. He's always wanted a bride. He's always wanted to be a savior. He's always wanted to be a healer. He's always wanted. These are attributes that were in Elohim that had to come and express itself through us.
Yeah.
Christ in you makes him the center of the revelation. See? Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible the complete revelation of Christ. The whole Bible. Not just revelation now, folks. I'm talking about the whole Bible. Every move that was made in that Bible. Every person that ever moved for God. Every prophet. Every seer. Every messenger. Every book in that Bible. Every one of them moved by revelation. It makes the Bible the complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. You are the Word of God made manifest. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm this. Don't go by feelings. Go by your very life. Go by what's the Bible saying you should be doing in the hour that you're living in. And check yourself out and find out if you're doing that. If you're fulfilling the word of your day that God has revealed to you, then that is the manifestation of the revelation of Jesus Christ in your very own life. You say, well, I didn't speak in tongues. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. That's not what the manifestation of the hour is. We've already been through that. When they had that in 1906 Pentecost, they fulfilled that. They did their job. They fulfilled the word. They lived by the revelation. That was the very manifestation of God for that day. But that's not the manifestation of God for this day. That's why you can't get stuck on William Branham. A lot of people are stuck on the prophet. And thank God for the prophet. Couldn't get where we are without him. Had to have him. Not ashamed of him. We'll preach him. You might get tired of hearing of him, but I don't get tired of hearing about him because that was the man that gave us the word that God quickened to us for our day.
Amen.
We couldn't even manifest in Revelations 10 and 8 until 1 through 7 came. But I'm not trying to be the prophet. I'm not trying to be the mighty angel coming down. I'm trying to be those that took the book and ate it. I'm trying to be those that'll prophesy again. Take that same message that the prophet had and bring it back to the world again and let them see that God is moving in his bride. That is the manifestation of God in skin in this hour.
Amen.
In the book of Revelations chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And sent and signified it by his angels unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all the things that he saw. Blessed is he. Now let's bring it to us. Because okay for Abel. It was okay for Moses. It was okay for Jeremiah and all the other prophets. It was okay for the New Testament saints. But what about you? We want to know what God's doing. Let's see what the manifestation of the Holy Ghost should be doing in this hour. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep. Keep this message. Not just agree with William Branham. Not just follow us on the internet. Not just act like you're a good person. But keeping is doing it, being a part of it, it being a part of you. Keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. When this time comes, there's a manifestation of the Holy Ghost that's going to be in the bride.
Amen.
And you say, well, I don't know if is that happening in my life. Only you know that. Until it manifests. If I don't see it manifesting, I'll know it. There's a lot of people tell me, oh, I believe this message. Walk out that door. What's their manifestation showing? The old saying, your actions speak louder than your words. You say you believe the Bible? You believe in, there's some Christians that are awful Christians. Christian is Christ-like, and they are nowhere near like Christ. And you look at them, and they criticize you, and I'm like, but you're worse than Satan. At least the devil's a little deceiving. You're worse than he is. And then you think that you're something, but you don't have the manifestation of the Word of God in your life. And the manifestation of the Word of God in this hour is going to be drawing you to the Word and bringing you one with Him. And you getting a new birth. And you becoming the Word of God, the moving, walking Son of Man ministry on the face of the earth in the hour that we're living in. That's the message of the hour. That's where we should be. But people aren't there. Brother Brown said the book of Revelation is the last book of the Bible. It's sealed to the unbelievers. There the Bible says in chapter 20, 22nd chapter, whosoever shall take one word from it or add one word to it, I'll take his part from the book of life. He realized that then it was altogether given for the believer. And it's opened the book of Revelation and reveals who the author of the entire book. See, he opened the entire book, not just Revelation. When he opened up the seals in the book of Revelation, it opened the entire Bible. Amen. Now, we're not sitting here ignorant today. Amen. Not with all that we've been given. Right. Not with all that we know. We've been given a lot. Yeah. We've been given more than anybody's ever had. Amen. We know more than any other messengers, any other church age, any other people. We know so much, but yet have so little. I'm looking for somebody who's going to be the manifestation of the Word of God. That's the Word made flesh. That is the light of the hour, is what Brother Branham said. I'm looking for somebody who's going to give them life, give their life totally to Him, to let him do what He wants with them. Not dictate to Him, oh, I'm your prisoner, but I don't get up till 10, and I don't eat breakfast till 12. And when I get up at 12, I'll stay up for a few hours, and I've got to go take a nap. And then by 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, I'm ready for dinner. And then I'll go to bed about 1 o'clock in the morning. That ain't a prisoner. And look around you. That's what you got. You said, well, I'm glad I'm at church today. But you got people who are only serving God on their terms. People aren't doing the will of God. They're doing their own will. But He wants us to be the manifested Word of God for the hour. The manifested Word of God for the hour is where God reveals Himself.
Amen.
If you're going to find God in this hour, you're not going to find Him just in William Branham. You're going to have to find Him in a bride body somewhere.
Right.
You're going to have to find Him in skin somewhere. Because that's what the manifestation is for the hour that we're living in. Revelations 10, 8 through 11 is the revealed Word of God dwelling in skin. Outside of that, you can't even get it. But it's only given to the believer. Now, the book was written. He said, well, up here, go back up a little bit. We realize that. Then it's altogether given for believers. And it's opened the book of Revelation and revealed who the author of the entire book is. He is to look upon as Alpha and Omega. From Genesis to Revelation. See, He is now available to us to see how He has revealed Himself. He's been revealing Himself the whole time.
Right.
He came in the form of Adam, revealing that, getting a bride, taking it from his side, in type, in shadow. He came through Abel. He came through the Old Testament saints. He came through the prophets. He did all that. He came right up into the New Testament, came into apostles, and He brought all that together. They wrote the New Testament. And the New Testament, like Brother Chilton says, the New Testament, Old Testament revealed. So now we have the New Testament revealed. We had everything revealed all the way up to the book of Revelation. And at the end time, at the very last of it, God was going to manifest himself by revelation once again in the bride in his fullness. That's what Revelation 10 and 1 was all about. The Lord himself, he came down. And he came down with the little book opened. He came with the revelation of the entire Bible. The full word, never revealed to no one in its fullness until this hour. And now that he's come down with the full word available to this bride, we as the bride are obligated to take every word.
Amen.
We can't pick and choose. We can't decide whether we want it to be important or not. It's important. You got to take every bit of it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Remember, I told you down through the ages, God only gave so much word for every age. But see, that's all he required. But the more word he gave, the more he required. And now that he's got the full word on the scene, what's your excuse?
That's right.
Right.
Amen.
Now the book was written, but then remember, it was sealed with seven seals. And these seven seals were not to be opened, Revelation 10, until the sounding of the last earthly angel on earth. Revelation 10, 7, see? And in the days of the sounding of the last angel's message, the seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished in that age. That's that age, and that's where we're living in. That's where we're living. But we're not just living in 10 through 1 through 7. This bride has moved into her ministry. Now, when I look at you, I should be able to see God manifesting himself in your revelation. You say, well, I don't know if you see anything in me. Oh, I'll see it. Everybody will see it. It'll be on full display before the whole world. You're the final voice to the final age. God has no other voice outside of you. No other hands but yours. No other feet but yours. And if God's going to move in this hour, everybody's going to see moving through you. Your very life is a manifestation of the revelation of the hour.
Amen.
You say, well, my life don't look like this manifestation. Do you need to get a new life?
Right.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
If your life does not match what the revelation of the hour is, then you need to get a new life. As Brother Lika said, you must be born again. You get born again, and you will manifest God for the hour that we're living in. Oh, it's not going to match what the church world wants. You'll never get what they want you to be. You'll never match them. They got a form of godliness and denying the power, denying the revelation. But here you are, the standing word of God made flesh in the hour that we're living in, binding and loosing and doing the things you do. You know, all these healing, you know, we've had healings and had everything else in this body. We don't major in those minors, but they're still there. And those things help to prove that God is amongst us.
Amen.
It doesn't mean that that's all of it. That's just part of it. If you have the healing and you don't have the word of God following it, then get away from that. That's what Brother Branham said. You need to have the word of God in the midst. But if God comes amongst us and he heals the body and he does answer questions and he discerns the heart and he does all the things that he does here on such a regular basis,
right,
then it should be easy for you to see God in this place.
Amen.
Should be easy for you to see the manifestation of the Son of Man. Because he does those things not to try to boost your faith in this just say that that's this evidence. He does those things because his children's bred for healing. He does those things so that it'll reassure you that he's in this place. When you come in here and God reads your heart and tell you what you're talking at home about, well, that should do something for you. That's discernment. The word is a discerner. And God is in this place, and we almost act like we don't see those things, but those things are alive and well in this place. And God used those things to build your faith so that you can be able to do what you're ordained to do. Thessalonians 4, won't read it, but it said, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We read that. 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 But do you realize that's our day? That's our manifestation. I'm not trying to put a lamb on an altar. I'm not trying to build an ark. I'm not trying to float down the aisle, the Nile. I'm here trying to do my word. I am the very manifestation of Thessalonians chapter 4. You are. We are. Because it's a body ministry. The Lord's descended from heaven already. He's already brought a shout. He's already got a voice. Where's the voice? You're listening to it right now. This voice is the very manifestation of God. But it's only for the believer. Everybody can't hear this voice. I'm not trying to get everybody to believe what voice is here. It's only for the believer. And when the believer hears that voice, they'll recognize it as God manifesting himself. And they'll receive the revelation of the hour and become that very thing that we're reading about in the Word. Just like everybody else did. Paul said, amen. I'm come to reveal to you my knowledge of the mystery that's been hid. I've come here today to reveal to you my knowledge of the mystery that's been hid. Amen. Thessalonians chapter 4 has been hid, but it's not anymore. Yes. And the proof of who we are, so you got to realize that the proof of who you are is that you become the manifestation of that scripture. You say, well, I don't know. That's the hour we're living in, folks. You wonder why I don't have so much on my plate. That's why. You wonder why I don't worry about so much about a lot of other stuff. That's why. You wonder why you push it all the time. Push it, push it, push it. You know, I used to work in a restaurant, and they always tell us before we open the doors in the evening, we're pushing codfish today or whatever it is. And so when you go out there to the tables, you're pushing it, trying to, yeah, we got a good codfish back there. Got a good this. Let's fix this. It's on sale, too. You can just, you know, you push that. What should we be pushing in this hour? Should we be talking about Noah? You know, I was thinking this morning, I said, Satan's so busy trying to figure God out. And God have a revelation that he manifests the whole time. People get caught up in Noah and worrying about the time that Noah lived. Oh, they drank and they gave in marriage and all that stuff until the day that Noah entered an ark. That's fine and dandy, but you know what? That wasn't even the whole story. No. That wasn't even the biggest story. No. That was just a sideline item that Satan got hold of, and he looked and said, oh, God's dealing with Noah here. But do you realize that the entire mind of God was around the fact that the world needed a baptism? Amen. Nobody talks about that. They look at that baptism, it was a curse and it was a bad thing, and God killed all of mankind. God didn't kill all of mankind. That wasn't a slip up on God's part. God knew the world needed a baptism because he was already in the process of working his redemption on the earth. And we spend so much time looking at Noah that we don't realize that God was saving the whole world. We didn't talk about that. The world needs a water baptism. Yes. The world needed a sanctification. Yes. The world needed a birth, a life to come to it. All these things that you needed as an individual, God wanted to do to the earth. And we don't even give no attention to the fact that he baptized it. But that was in the mind of God. Satan missed that. That was the scripture, though. God knew it was going to happen. And in the mind of God, he had already planned a baptism of the earth. And the very manifestation happened right before our eyes. And we all we look at is Noah. And Noah. Is Noah. Noah is small potatoes. Amen. Only reason God kept Noah is to bring the world back onto the earth. Right. Remember, he replenished the earth. God could have wiped the whole thing off. Sure. But that wasn't his plan. Right. He had a bigger plan than that. Just being there and saving Noah and his 8 family members, that wasn't the plan of God. That was just a small potatoes for what God was trying to do. But the real manifestation was God baptizing the entire earth, already starting to bring back what was lost from him. Amen. And Satan's groping in darkness, trying to figure out what's he doing, what's he doing, what's he doing, what's he doing. Jesus went to Calvary. Wasn't an accident. Paid the price. blood dripped on the earth. Wasn't an accident. Satan thought he'd put him to death, got rid of him. That's the very price we needed for the sanctification of the earth. And and if you find the manifestation of the revelation, you'll see God moving. See, God moved in all of that. It was God moving in all that. Satan just backed up and he just hit at it and tried to figure out what God was doing, but he didn't know. He never knew what God was doing. It wasn't by chance that God threw Satan. I was thinking about that this morning. I thought, it wasn't by chance that God threw Satan out of heaven into the garden. He could have put him anywhere. Could have put him on the moon. It wasn't by chance. God had a bigger plan in his mind. And Satan, thinking he's smart, going to mess up God's plan. You cannot mess up God's plan.
Amen.
God just used that old devil. He used Lucifer. Lucifer thought he took a third of heaven. Well, God let him have a third of heaven. It wasn't a problem. God didn't need a third of heaven to run heaven. He ran and went at him. Put him down here so that we have spirits to fight and deal with. But it wasn't a mess up in God's plan. It was God's manifested word all the way through. I thought about this morning when Brother Branham said, don't worry about this church. God's great big clock is ticking right on time. It's not doing anything out of cater. It's not messed up. It's not a mix up and Satan's winning. Satan's not winning this world. The world has to get in this condition so they can burn themselves off. God, you know what? God never left the world without a way out. When he destroyed it with water, he gave him Noah. When Jesus died on the cross, he gave him the upper room. He always gave man a way out. And I thought this morning, I said, that old no good devil, he's so stupid, he's going to kill all the life. He's going to kill every living thing on the earth when he gets done with this. But in order for him to do that, the world had to get to this place. We didn't have anything that could destroy the entire world until now. And Satan thinks he's doing something, but he's just playing right in the hands of God's plan, because God wants the earth cleaned off so that he can come down here and have a millennium. And when he cleans that off, he don't want nobody running around here. They asked me in the Philippines, they said, there's some people in here in the message to believe that the people are going to get in the caves and they're going to outlast that first burning. And there's going to be children and things on the earth when a millennial come. I said, no, there's not. They're going to burn off all the way down to the stubble. All life will be in the grave. No babies hiding in caves. No nuclear storage facilities where you're going to hide. The entire world will be cleaned off so that the bride could come and live on it.
Amen.
Satan's so stupid that he's going to destroy himself, everybody in. And he'll sit here for the 1,000 years and be mad about it because he won't have nobody to work with. But that's the manifestation of the Word of God. Every revelation that God has in this Bible will come to pass. It will manifest, and it's going to do exactly what it was ordained to do. Nobody's going to change it. Satan can't stop it. It's not some mistake that this world's in this condition. God said it was going to be this way.
Yeah.
Men don't know what gender they are. Women don't know what gender they are. They don't know which restroom to use. The world's in such chaos. Wars and rumors of wars. The place is a wreck, total wreck.
Amen.
It's fit for nothing but a burning. There's no recovering from this situation. There's no pulling up and straightening the world out. It's over. It's already written. And the very manifestation is right before our very eyes. Man has lost all love for humanity. Now, Brother Branham said, now, the rapture, that's what we're talking about, is only for the bride. Remember, the Bible said, and the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. This great rapture, if there's not a rapture, friends, where are we at? What are we going to do? What age are we living in? What promises do we have? There is going to be a rapture. The Bible says it will be, and it will be only for the elected. The elected lady, the bride in this day that's pulled out of the church. It's the rapture is ours. It belongs to us. Remember, I'm talking about God manifesting himself by revelation. The rapture belongs to us. It's not something out here that's not going to happen. It will happen. Jesus said in St. John 12, except a corn of wheat falls in the ground and abide alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. This corn of wheat, this bride corn of wheat is gone in the ground and it's already come up and now it's bearing much fruit. Much fruit. Look around you. The most Jesus ended up with was 12. And one of them was the devil.
Right.
Upper room only has 120. That's all the saving and all the preaching and all the signs and wonders that Jesus did and the disciples did, all they ended up with was 120. But those 120, every one of them were sons and daughters of God. And you look around, and there's not a whole lot of people in this world that really believes this message. There's not a lot of people who will stand up and still talk about the resurrection and rapture like it's really going to happen.
Amen.
But that little 120 is all it needs. That's the whole program was built around God's divine revelation. The whole program. That includes Adam, Eve, Cain, all the way through what Cain did, what Abel did, what the prophets did, what David did. The entire program was built on revelation.
Amen.
It says, you see, Brother Brown said in Things That Are To Be, he said, you see, the whole program, the whole church is built upon the divine revelation. Jesus said in St. John, the 16th chapter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven hath revealed this to you. What is it? A revelation of who he was. And upon this rock, a rock of revelation, I'll build my church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. See, the revelation of Jesus Christ in this hour, not what he was in another hour, what he is now. The Bible expresses it's growing in the bride to a full stature. Therefore, if the corn of wheat of Christ had fallen in the ground, so did the bride have to fall in the ground through the dark ages. Any grain that goes in the ground must die, or it can't produce itself, reproduce itself. And the great church that he established on the day of Pentecost by sinning of the Holy Ghost had to suffer martyrdom and go into the dirt, into the earth in the dark ages to bring forth in the age of Luther and come out to the full statue of a bride of Jesus Christ for this last day. See? Therefore, the bride in the rapture will come forth. And there is all pre-planned by God, all backed up. This rapture is not something that we're just stumbling into. It's not something we're just discovering. This rapture is already pre-planned by God. Do you realize that every person that God ever revealed himself to in the Bible was pre-planned?
Amen.
He gave them their revelation for the hour that they're living in. They were the living manifestation of the Word of God for the hour that they were living. They were God manifested for that hour. And at the end time, God's talking about having a group of people that'll be here on the earth raptured out of here. And that group of people's got to come from somewhere. Somebody's got to manifest that scripture. And we'll manifest that scripture. It won't be laid aside. It won't be talked down. This bride will do what God already preordained her to do. The same manifestation of God that you read about in the Old Testament, The same manifestation of God that you read about in the New Testament when Paul said that was hidden in times past but is now revealed. What about the rapture? It was hidden in times past. But somebody's got to do it. It is now made manifest before your very eyes. You say, I don't see the rapture. I see the rapture. I see the rapture because the first thing that rapture was me.
Right. Amen.
I was raptured out of dead denominational traditions. She said, well, that's all we're going to get. No, don't take my natural body change from me. Don't take my rapture from me. The scripture said I'll be changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. That's my scripture. That is what God has revealed to me. And I will be the manifestation of the word of God. He put the fivefold money. He said, therefore, the bride in the rapture will come forth. It's all pre-planned by God, all backed up from the beginning. He knew every man, every place who would set all about it. It's all pre-planned. The rapture is all pre-planned. We try to make ourselves rapture worthy. We try to get ourselves in a condition to say, okay, now I'm good enough to rapture, or I'm worthy enough to rapture. It has nothing to do with your goodness at all. It's pre-planned by God. And God ordained you to be here in this hour to be the fulfillment of the manifested word of God. That's just happened to be the one that's for us. He's not trying to get us to the rapture. He already knows we are the rapture. He's not trying to preach this into us. It is into us. We just need to understand that the manifestation of the word of God includes that scripture.
Yes.
Amen. Ephesians 4 says he put gave us prophets, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and all those things till we all come to the unity of the faith, the unity of the revelation. Right. We all come to this point. Right. We're here now. You say, well, we don't need preachers anymore. Oh, no, you'll need a preacher till your body change. I got to come back and preach more. You come here, you got to preach the body change. You come every week and we get a little more.
Amen.
Come back last Sunday, got a little more. Come back Wednesday, got a little more. Come today and we get, now you sit there and say, oh, hey, that's my scripture. Body change belong to me. I'm identified with that. I am going to be and am a part of the very manifestation of that scripture.
Amen.
Just like everybody else had their scripture. Paul said, in times past it wasn't revealed, but it's now revealed in your hour.
Right.
And the body change is a thing that was not given to them in the past,
right,
but is now revealed in the day that we're living in.
Amen.
We're all coming to the knowledge of the Son of God, of the perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, I'm going to read this. The bride will be the word on top of word. Because he's been building the whole time. It's not been him working on the Old Testament saints. Then he comes home and work on the New Testament saints. Then he comes and work in the church ages. Then he comes in and work on us. It's been him building the entire time.
Amen.
When a germ comes into the womb of a female, you don't become a human germ from your father. And then the next thing you become a germ from a dog. And the next thing from a cat. And the next thing from a chicken. It was all human germ. And the body of Jesus Christ, the bride, that's who the body of Jesus Christ is. The body of Jesus Christ, the bride, will be part of his body, which will, he was the word, and the bride will have to be the word. Word added to word. Added to word. Luther, justification. Wesley, sanctification. Pentecostal, baptism of the Holy. See, it's been God bringing the manifestation of his word all the way through. Why do you think you're going to be any less than what that was? He's been building a body the whole time. And he cannot finish the body until he gets into a rapture.
Amen.
Pentecostal, baptism of the Holy Spirit, restoration of the gifts, and all the rest of it goes with it, see? It's got to be word on top of word, germ on top of germ, life on top of life, to bring out the full stature of a bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now remember, you was an attribute. Oh, we look at Paul, we say he was a great attribute. We look at all the apostles, we say they were great attributes. We look it down through the ages, say Luther and them were a great attribute. Yeah. Martin was a great attribute. They did such a great job. Right. But how about you?
Yeah.
You are an attribute just as much as they are. And right. they are depending on your attribute to manifest what's left in the scripture.
Amen.
Many say, join our congregation. One of them want a certain type of baptism. One to do this or that. One says you must speak in tongues or you haven't got it. The other one says you don't have to speak in tongues. This one says you must dance in the spirit. This says you must shout. This got a sensation. That's all right. And then still, it's all wrong. How can a man or a woman or a child of God that's born of the Spirit of God deny the Word of God? See, the thing is, in the hour that we're living in, the proof that you're a son or daughter of God is that you will never deny the Word of God. Man's going to take out, he shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And in the hour that we're living in, every word has proceeded out now. He can't deny the Word of God. When God himself interprets it and says, this is it, I promised it, here it is. Showing it just as plain as it can. Why, they're bound to see it. See, we're bound. We're bound to see that the rapture is in you.
Amen.
We're bound to see that. We're bound to see that those that are alive and remain will be changed. We're bound to be that because we are the Word of God.
Right.
We're bound to see that. It's promise. Just as plain as can be. Why? We're bound to see it. How can Christ deny his own word? Can't do it. If he's revealed himself to you, then you're Christ. You're the anointed one. You are anointed to live and manifest the word of God. How do you know what God's manifesting? Look at what you're doing. Look at your very life. Because your life will be the manifestation of the Word of God. Christ cannot deny his own word. And if Christ is in you, it cannot deny his own word. So what are you going to do? The Bible says we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling. You going to deny that? You going to act like that's for another day? We've been looking at this thing for a long time, church. We've been talking about this thing for a long time. Everybody since the beginning have been talking about the rapture and it calling away and it capturing away. But somebody's got to fulfill it.
Right.
You say, well, I don't know if it's me. It may not be you. But if it's not you, it'll be somebody.
Amen.
I wanted to bring this quote to you because I've been telling you for the last couple of weeks that the rapture is a revelation. It's just the same as any other revelation. We get a big deal. We'll look at healing. We'll say, praise God, I believe in healing. We'll step out and get healed. We say, salvation, I believe the report. I believe the word of God. Praise God. I'm one of them. Then we get to the rapture. He says, the rapture's you. Well, it's just another revelation. Just another step. It ain't that deep. It ain't that hard. It's just in God's manifestation timing. We're not trying to get the rapture. The rapture's here. We're not trying to believe for the rapture. We believe for the rapture. It's here. All that we're waiting on now is for God to say when.
Right.
He'll bring the manifestation of the rapture like he brought the manifestation of everything else. Your healing came in a manifestation because you believed it, you believed it, you believed it till it happened.
Right.
Your salvation come because you believed it till it happened.
Right.
Your rapture is going to come because you're going to believe it till it happens.
Right.
Your body change is going to come because you're going to believe it till it happens. If it doesn't happen this morning, it'll be this afternoon.
Yeah.
If it won't be this afternoon, it'll be tonight. But it will be. Because we are the manifestation of the Word of God. And that's just as much as the Word of God as Acts 2:38.
Right. Yes, sir. Amen.
Listen to what Brother Branham said in the book, The Rapture. He said, but to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. See what I'm trying to tell you? You're not trying to get to, we're not trying to get us to believe the rapture. Because a lot of times we're sitting there thinking, oh, when we believe it enough, it'll happen. No. You can believe it all you want. It's not going to happen till the time.
Right.
Stop worrying about trying to believe it enough. You believe it enough.
Amen.
It's going to happen. Amen. We have rapturing faith. Right now.
Right now.
Not going to someday. Right now. God's already proved to you that he's in this place. God's already proved to you that he can heal. God's already proved to you he can discern. And there's nothing else that God has held back from us. But it's just in his timing that the rapture will happen. Not because you got better. Not because you got smarter. Not because you got holier. But because he says it's time. Just like every other scripture. The rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now it is a revelation, for revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. The rapture has been revealed to us. No one else has had this.
Amen.
The hat wasn't in the place. It wasn't in the right place. Remember, Brother Brown talked about going to his house and he's going to pray for the sick, and he had seen it in a vision that she was going to be healed. And he went there and he looked and things didn't seem right. And this person was here and this person was there. And he didn't pray. He's like, okay, we can pray. He said, no. He's just waiting. Something's missing. Something's not right. And here comes the man. Minister comes in, takes his hat off, lays it on the bed. Brother Fenner said, there it is. The hat's in the right place. Now we can pray. It will happen. See, this bride ain't praying that the rapture come. We're not praying that we're going to be, but we are a part of it. All we're waiting on is for the hat to be put in the right place. All we're waiting on is for God to manifest through us what he already promised in his word that he's going to do.
Amen.
He told us it's going to happen.
Amen. Amen.
And we will be God's manifestation of his revelation of the rapture.
Yes.
He said over here in Romans chapter 8, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. You don't need to get anything else. You don't need to go out and buy something new. You don't need to go and straighten something else up. You don't need to try. See, that's Satan for you. He is groping in darkness because he don't know when the rapture is going to happen. But God knows when it's going to happen. And he's trying to put scarecrows out saying, oh, it's not going to happen. You need to straighten this up. You're too bad. You don't care. You can't go. And he's just swinging in the dark. But this little bride knows she's the Word made flesh.
Right.
She knows Thessalonians 4 is just as much a part of her as Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 through 11. She is the walking, talking, living Word of God. And the rapture is not something that I have to go get. It's already in me. It came when the Holy Ghost came. It is all in that seed. And I don't have to try to get the Holy Ghost. I don't have to try to get the rapture. The rapture's in me. All I'm waiting is on for God to nod his head. He'll bring it out like he brought you to the message. He'll bring it out like he healed your body. He'll bring it out like he saved your soul. He'll bring it out like he built the body around all ages. He'll bring it out like he did with Abel. He'll bring it out like he did with Moses. He'll bring it out like he did with everybody else. Enoch.
Amen.
All of them.
Right.
He's going to do the same thing to you.
Amen.
So don't walk around here trying to get rapture and faith.
No.
I already got rapture and revelation.
Amen.
It's not even left up to me.
Right.
Just like everything else, that's not left up to me. That's not left up to me about nothing. I got a revelation. God revealed that that's me.
Amen.
God's revealed that I'm a part of it.
Right.
Oh, everybody else is looking at you all critical, saying, oh, you can't be a part of it. Or you're not good enough. Or you shouldn't be able to go. I can't help it. I got a revelation that I'm a part of it. And when you get a revelation, there's nothing can take that away from you.
Right.
No priest, no preacher, no church, no nothing.
Then
you know you're going.
Right.
Brother Branham said this. What shall we do with Jesus called Christ? Let me say something too.
Amen.
This uniting time.
Amen.
To see church uniting. Yes. Nations uniting. It's a uniting time of God and his bride too. And I say this with all reverence and respect. I believe that the bride of Christ is called.
Yes.
Already. I believe she is sealed into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I believe the mechanics is there. Oh, we already know how to, we know how the body's going to get up. We got the mechanics of it. I believe the mechanics is there. They're waiting for the dynamics that takes her off the earth into glory, in the rapture. I believe with all my heart. Yes, sir. We don't know how he's going to do it, but he shall do it. He is the dynamics. We just become members of the machine of his body, forming ourselves into his image, and see him uniting himself with us in his works, his love gifts, as he hands them to us just before the wedding supper. And we're waiting, watching for that. That's what I'm waiting and watching for. You wonder why I take everything off my plate? Because that's all I need to see.
Right.
We've already got the revelation of the rapture. We already know who's going to be in it. We already know we're in it.
Yeah.
We're just waiting on him to change these molecules. And he's got to do it. You can't do it. I don't see you being able to change anything. You can't bring on a rapture.
Right.
Just as much as Satan can't stop it. Oh, he's nervous right now because we're talking like we're talking.
Amen.
Oh, he can hear us now. And he knows that, oh my, they're actually saying they're getting ready to get their body changed. Oh my, you gotta get this. You gotta get that. Satan, I don't need anything.
Amen.
I got everything I need to be in a rapture. I'm not looking for nothing else. The mechanics are already there.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting on him to quicken it like he's quickened everything else in my life.
Amen.
In Revelation chapter 4, that bride was caught up, Brother Branham said. John was caught up. John was caught up on the fourth chapter, see, to see things, which was, which is, and which is to come. But the church finishes after the fourth chapter, and Christ takes up the church, caught up in the air to meet him. And does not appear again until the 19th chapter when he comes back with as King and Lord of Lords with the church. This is what he said in the first seal. And then there is coming forth seven mysteries. Seven mysterious thunders. That's not even written at all. Now, we know what those thunders are.
Yes.
I'm talking history now. This is already past tense. Those seven mysterious thunders have sounded. The bride has received it. She knows what it is. She's taken it in. She's become one with it. This is what Brother Branham said. And then there's coming forth seven mysterious thunders. That's not even written at all. That's right. And I believe that through these seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. The opening of those seven seals brought us to rapturing faith.
Amen.
Because what we got around, we won't be able to do it. Before they opened the seals, they had all the word restored. They had as far as they could go. They didn't have the hidden mysteries. They didn't know the many things that we know. They couldn't have done it. But we can do it now. There is something we've got to step further. We can't have enough faith for divine healing. Hardly. We're going to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and be swept up off the earth. He was trying to get us to understand that
that revelation that we have now is going to manifest itself out through us in a body change. We're no longer sitting up here waiting for God to come and do something. God's down here manifesting himself by revelation. Enoch typed a bride. I won't read it. Over in Revelation 10, verse 4, he told him don't write those thunders. Right. It's not for us. Like Paul said, to them it wasn't given. But to now it's ours to give. Right. My revelation of the mystery. Now I can look back and say, Paul, to you it wasn't given. Right. Amen. But it's to me to understand the revelation of Thessalonians chapter 4. It's me to be the bride, to stand on the scene and say the Spirit and the bride say come. It's up to me at this hour to become the resurrection of the dead body of all ages. They are waiting on me to do what I am ordained to do. I'm not trying to get ordained. I am ordained. I'm not trying to become the bride. I am the bride. I'm the last one on the face of the earth that God wants to deal with in the Gentile world. The last ones, the final voice to the final age is calling out this morning. One more quote and I'm closing. Brother Brown said to consider everything and let that increase your faith. That's what I said. Listen to what he was trying to get us to do. He's trying to get us to look around. And I'm trying to get us to look around. Because we don't hardly give God the credit for what he's done here. And I want you to get built up in the holy oracles of God. In the faith of this hour. The faith. It's going to take more faith than ever was in any age. For this has to be rapturing faith. Be taken up. And so we want you to believe tonight and all, listen church, I'm talking to y'all, Fairborn Community Tabernacle. Listen to all that you have seen. Now listen how Brother Brown is trying to get us to realize. Look at what God's done in this place. All that you have seen, heard, the word that you've heard preached, the signs and the wonder that you have seen done. Church, Fairborn, think back. Look at it. Look at all how God's blessed you. He's healed cancers. He's fixed marital problems. Some of you went to divorces, but he kept you. Some of you had issues and he kept you. He's pulled you along. He's revealed his word to you. He's kept you up here. Think of what he's done here in this community tabernacle. What he's done with you. Think of what you've seen done. We want you to accumulate all that together in your heart and consider it, whether it's of God or not. If it's not of God, don't worry about it. But if it's of God, the same one that's done all these things for you in here in this local assembly is the same one that will quicken that rapturing faith at the time that is needed. We're going to manifest the rapture just as much as we're manifesting Malachi 4, Revelations 10, Luke 17, every other scripture that looks in that Bible that's talking about you. Like Warren was excited this morning, said, this is talking about me. Well, that rapture is talking about you. God manifests himself by revelation. The rapture is just another revelation. And this bride is on her feet. She knows what it is. We can look all the way back. We know what God's done. We know where he's at. What he's done and blessed us with, nobody else has. Amen. And it'll take what we have to bring about that rapturing faith. And it's just another revelation. It's the same God in revealing the rapture is the same God to reveal your day and his message. It's not your doing, it's his doing. It's not your rapture, it's his rapture. It's not your body change, it's his body change. You don't have to do it. You don't have to work it up. You just have to believe that you're one of them. And let God do in your life what he wants to do. He
He'll give you everything you need for the journey. He's never left us wanting.
Amen.
He always supplies all our needs right when we need them. Oh, it may not be what we want when we want them, but it's always been. Look down through the ages. What he's done, he's always supplied down through the ages everything we needed. And this bride in the hour we're living on is calling for a rapture. He will keep his word just as sure as he's kept you thus far.
Amen.
And he'll supply everything that we need. You don't add anything to that apple seed. It's all in it. You don't have to add anything to the bride. It's all in it.
Amen.
We needed justification. We got it. We needed sanctification. We got it. We needed the gifts restored. We got it. We needed the word restored. We got it. Now the only thing we're looking for is the life on the body. To bring us to a body change. And we've got it.
Amen.
We are the manifestation of God's revelation. The body change is just one more revelation. And it's us that he's going to manifest it through. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning so thankful for your word. Thank you that you've manifested yourself in so many ways through the Bible. And you've never left us short. You never left us doubting. You never left us wondering. But you fulfilled every bit of it yourself. And Lord, as we come today, we want to just thank you for that. And help us to look around us and watch you manifest yourself in us in such a way that every scripture that's talking about us in this day, it'll come to pass and it'll manifest itself just like every other one did. This little bride is not trying to get raptured in faith now. We've got it. Those seven thunders sounded. And where you told John not to write it, you brought a prophet in this hour to open those seals and reveal what was under them. And when you did that, Lord, it showed us exactly what you were doing all the way through the Bible. And it showed us how it included us at this end time. Lord, help us to just wait on you.
Yes.
Help us to manifest the word as you show it to us. Every scripture you give us, let us manifest. Everything you give us, let's step right out on it. And Lord, when you reveal the rapture to us in such a way that it'll change our bodies, we'll step out on it as well. Thank you for this truth, Lord. Thank you for who we are. Thank you for the hour that we're living in and the job that this bride is ordained to do. Help us to do it, and you will. You've helped us all the way through. Why would we doubt you now? Why would we put unbelief in there now? Let us step out on your word like we never have before. Thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name we pray, just to help this congregation. Help us to be sincere, stepping out on your word, Lord, knowing that you're calling for us to be changed. Help us to do that. If we haven't done it, if we've never done it seriously, let us drop everything and do it. Let us put you first in our life. Help us, Father. Help us to press towards that mark and to move everything else out of the way. One thing on our platter, Lord, that's the rapture. That's the body change. Because that's not only going to just affect us, but it's going to affect the bride of all ages. And they are depending on us. Help us to trust you and to depend on you. And to just thank you for what you've already given us. And thank you for what you're giving us now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. God manifests himself by revelation. He's done it all through the Bible. He's not going to stop till everything that was in his mind is manifested. And when he does manifest it, it's not hard to see. It's easy to find him, especially in the hour that we're living in. It's easy to find God if you know what you're looking for. Only the elect can find him, though. Only the elect can find him. Amen. Our Lord's return. Page 98. God bless you. Come back tonight for a Bible study.
Think on these things. Amen. Meditate on the rapture. Think about it. It's real. And it'll manifest just like everything else. That's Amen. Amen. God bless you. I am waiting for the coming of the glad millennial day, when our Lord shall come and catch his waiting right away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture, labor, watch and pray, for our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be down. A thousand years will have no tempter then. Shall come back to earth again. Jesus coming back will be the answer to earth's sorry cry. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth, the sea and sky. God shall take away all sickness and the suffering. Tears will dry when our Savior shall come back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back. John, Brother John, Lord is.
Oh, Satan will be bound. A thousand years will have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back.